The Crane Thrive Podcast, episode 70, How to Organize a Professional Photo Shoot with Christina Lowry.
I was like, okay, come on, Trudy, we can do this together. You know, we're both nervous, but we can do this together. Mm-hmm. We just need to find a model. And that can be the hard part as well, too. It's, you know, finding someone that, you know, not only won't be shy in front of the camera, but doesn't mind that their image is going to be splashed all over your social media and your blog and you're this and you're that.
I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning. Hey Thrivers, welcome to another episode of the Create and Thrive podcast. I'm Jess Van Den. It's wonderful to have you with me. Today I'm going to be talking to a friend of mine who is a jeweler and has some very wise wisdom to share. But first, what have I been up to? Blah, 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 blah. I've been training for something quite fun, but it's a secret. Shh. So I can't tell you about it yet. I will tell you when it's happened. It's about a month and a bit away. It is yoga related. That's all I can tell you. Anything more and I'll be sharing the secret, but it's very fun. So I've just been over at my mate Donovan's place and we've been training for that. That's been awesome. And I'm going to be busy doing that for the next few weeks/months. What else? Let's see. We have some houses being built next door. Not so much fun. We have a house getting built down the front, our block when we bought it. They subdivided off the front corner and there's a house, which we knew all along that there was going to be a house being built there while we were living here, and that's fine. But we woke up this morning to the sound of earthworks happening out on another side of us. We're at the end of a road, so we actually have like neighbors all the way around us, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 4 neighbors. So this is another block that's a nice bush block, you know, and didn't think anything of it. And we woke up to earthworks this morning and discovered that there is another house being built on that block. So we have two houses being built adjacent to our block, which is not the most relaxing thing, but you know, it's okay. It's only for a while and then it'll be over and then we'll have our serenity back. But it means that I'm late recording this. It's late-ish at night. Normally I do it during the day, but there was too much noise going on today. So, and I probably will have the same again tomorrow. So I'm here in the quiet of the lovely evening time recording this for you. I'm just thankful it didn't happen when we were recording the actual interview, which is coming up for you. Oh, another piece of exciting news that is not related to the rest of my life, but is related to you and me and Create and Thrive, and that is that I've set the date for the next running of Set Up Shop. The date is October 3rd. Put it in your calendars. Set Up Shop will be beginning. The actual course will be starting on Monday, October the 3rd. The doors will be open the week before that. Registration will open the week before. So make sure to keep an eye out for that. If you want to join us, a setup shop is for those of you who want to set up an online shop and business for your handmade goods. You can either be starting from scratch or you can have a shop and not really know what you're doing. Or you might even have had a shop for a while but really want to do a bit of a revamp and make sure you're kind of doing it right, so to speak. So I've taken hundreds upon hundreds of makers through this course over the last few years, and I keep getting emails, people going, when are you running it again? So that is when I'm running it again. Finally set a date. So October the 3rd, 2016, Set Up Shop is running again. If you want to know more, there'll be a link in the show notes for this episode. This is episode 70. You can find that over on Create and Thrive, or just go to Create and Thrive, look for the courses link and follow that to see Set Up Shop. It's a 30-day course, so it's an intensive course, one lesson a day for 30 days, and it'll teach you, you know, everything you need to know to set up your online shop properly from the beginning. So if you're wanting to join us for that, don't miss out. It will be awesome fun. And all the alumni are always in the Facebook group. So we always have a really good conversation. And it's great to kind of see, I think the first time I ran this was in 2013. So it's great to see, you know, people coming back and saying how far they've come and the progress they've made with their businesses since starting the course. So I hope you can join us for that. If you're in the Thriver Circle and you haven't done the course yet, I hope you can join us as well. I know we're doing the Your Year to Thrive course, but that's only one lesson a week, so you can probably fit in around that if you've got a bit of spare time up your sleeve. So let's get started with this week's interview, which is with Christina Lowry, who is a jeweler, a Brisbane jeweler. I've known of Christina for a couple of years now. We've been, you know, in the similar circles. And she has come on the show to talk about a very awesome topic, and that is how to organize a professional, like, lookbook photo shoot for your products, for your handmade products. She's done this quite a few times now, and so she's got all the ins and outs and the things you need to know, the pitfalls you might come across, you know, how to find a photographer, or, you know, how to find a model, how to book space, how to find space, all of the little details of the actual shooting day, and, you know, how to basically do all of this in a very inexpensive way that still ends up with everybody happy, everybody getting value out of the situation. And it means that you'll have beautiful, professional, high quality photos to promote your business. So let's dive into this episode. Oh, before we start, there is a download over on, again, on the website for those of you who want kind of a cheat sheet to photo shoots. There is a PDF download that Christina has made for us. It's in the Handmade Biz Toolkit. So if you're a subscriber to the Create and Thrive emails, just look for your most recent email and look for the password to log into the Handmade Biz Toolkit, and it's a new edition there. If you're not, there'll be a link in the show notes that'll take you to where you need to go to get that free cheat sheet. Awesome. So let's get started. Hi, Christina. Welcome to the show today.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, another local jeweler. It's fantastic. So today we're going to be talking about something that I think a lot of people dream about doing, but they don't end up actually making it happen because it seems completely and utterly confusing and overwhelming. And that is basically organizing a professional photo shoot of your work. But before we go into that, could you just, for those of the listeners who don't know who you are, just give us a little bit of a rundown of who you are and what you do and kind of how you got to where you are today?
Sure. So I am Christina Lowry of Christina Lowry Designs, and I went to uni thinking I was going to be a painter. I was always the kid hanging out in the art room at lunchtime and visiting galleries on the weekend. And I thought that, you know, that that's what it looked like to be creative meant, you know, you kind of went to uni and you became a painter. And I did that, and I went to uni and I just wanted to drop out. I just, I was so, it just wasn't me. And I just had a real personality clash with my painting instructor and everything. And I just thought, oh gosh, I need to go and do something else. And I was really blessed to make friends with another artist there who was like, no, this is not the end of the journey. This is the beginning of the journey. You need to stay, and you need to just find what is your calling, you know, what it is for you. And so I stayed on, and, you know, I tried a little bit of this and I tried a little bit of that. And I ended up majoring in intermedia, which at the time was kind of very early Photoshop and installation and all these sorts of things. And I absolutely loved it. But it wasn't until the end of my degree that I started to delve into gold and silversmithing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, okay, like, I just found my medium. This is it. Now, this is what I want to do. So when I left uni, I went and tried to get an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
I thought this was the, you know, this was the path. You had to get a trade. You know, I needed to do things the right way. And I got a job straight away in the jewelry industry with a promised apprenticeship. They said they would train me first in sales. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, I was still training in sales.
Oh, no.
And I learned so much, you know, and now it's proven to be absolutely invaluable. You know, I learned to sell. I learned about gemstones. I did diamond grading courses and pearl threading and you name it. And it was wonderful. And I really, I fell in love with the retail side of things. And I slowly got some bench time. I was just frustrated at the lack of bench time. So I ended up doing a course, a 12-month course, a vocation course in silversmithing.
Yep.
And I was like, no, you know, this is definitely it. And so eventually I went to work for somebody else and got an apprenticeship there. And I just absolutely loved it, you know, and I was accumulating tools and going to exhibitions and meeting other jewelers. And sadly, my boss ran out of money, and the apprentice is always the first to go. So I ended up back kind of working in retail and just doing bench work with other jewelers. So I learn a lot, and I ended up, you know, kind of at a really high-end shop, working with all sorts of amazing gemstones and lots of amazing jewelers and everything. And again, it just wasn't a really great fit for me. Mm. And when I fell pregnant, I managed to lose my job.
Oh, no. Was this a deliberate losing your job, or just because somebody was not very nice? And
Yeah, a little bit of everything. It was a little bit complicated at the time, but it you know, it was one of those blessings in disguise, because when I lost my job, you know, I just cried and cried and cried and cried, and you know, hormonal and pregnant and everything as well too. But you know, it had gotten to that point that I was going home from work every day and crying anyway. It was just not working out, and it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. And I ended up working in an art gallery then for the rest of my pregnancy, and you know, at the Gold Coast and watching the whales every lunchtime. And it was just a completely different atmosphere, and I absolutely loved it, and decided, you know, I'm just going to be a stay-at-home mom and, you know, make my kids soft toys and crochet blankets and whatever else, you know. And I didn't sit down at my bench for over 12 months. Wow. It left a really bad taste in my mouth. Mm. And I thought, like, I felt really lost at that stage and kind of engulfed in motherhood and wasn't sure of the way forward. And I started making a few things for friends, and they were all like, oh, you could sell those online. Like, oh, yeah, you know. And it's so funny because, you know, although I had the bench set up and although I had the skills, it had never occurred to me to start a business. and it was only
really?
Yeah, no, I always thought, you know, like, I would do the mummy thing and eventually I'd go back to work, and I had to keep training. You know, I hadn't finished my apprenticeship, so how could I, you know, how could I start a business if I wasn't fully trained? And I think that it was so much imposter syndrome.
We all suffer from that at a lot, actually.
Oh, totally. I just thought, you know, look, how can I sell things to people if I haven't finished my apprenticeship? And, you know, but I had all these years at the bench, and I had all these skill sets, and so eventually I remember going to see a talk, the Big Hearted Business Luncheon with Claire Bowditch, and Claire said, you know, where do you want to be in 5 years' time? You know, exactly where? And to sit down and write it down and be like, okay, in 5 years' time I could have, you know, a clean house and I could be a mom, or I could have a business. And I applied for Finders Keepers the next week, and got in, and that was the start of my business.
Oh my goodness me. So you had no business, and you're like, I'll just apply to Finders Keepers.
I threw myself in the deep end.
I reckon.
And I didn't have a logo, I didn't have anything, but I had, you know, had photos of my work that I'd been doing, and I just put in my proposal, and I didn't even get in the first round. I didn't get in, and I was like, well, that's okay, you know, like. And then they sent me a secondary offer and said, you know, do you want a debut stall? And I was like, okay, then yeah, that would be great. And then it was just so successful, and with the funds from that I was able to, you know, go and spend $300 on getting a logo with a professional graphic designer and go and develop my packaging and all that sort of stuff. And this is my third year in business now, and I just absolutely love it.
I mean, your business comes across so professionally and so amazingly. I think it's paid off, you know, that throwing yourself in the deep end has definitely paid off.
Well, I have you to thank for that as well, because I know many times that you've said to say yes before you're ready.
Yes.
And that, you know, that you just have to get out of your own way sometimes. Yeah, I did. And you said the difference between, a hobby and a business is treating it like a business. So I was like, right, I'm going to treat it like a business. And yeah,
Yeah, hooray!
it
Success story right here.
So yeah,
Awesome.
now I look back and I think, oh, I can't believe like it sort of took me so long to get to this point. But here I am, and now I have a beautiful intern that comes once a week and helps me out, and I work from home around my kids. My father-in-law comes once a week so that I just have an entire bench day, and the rest of the time I'm working around a school child and a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and just finding the balance and making it work. And yeah, I can't imagine it any other way.
That sounds fantastic. And I have to say, I'm really curious. Do you think, now I know this is hard to say for you because you've had your experience and not other people's, but do you think the fact that you came from working in retail in your industry for so many years has kind of influenced the way you see the business side of things?
Definitely, definitely. I think one of the biggest learning curves that I had was creating collections. And having been a buyer for a few jewelry shops, I got to go to all the trade fairs, and I got to meet all the suppliers, and I got to see all the collections and see how that worked from a wholesale point of view to retail jewelers. And so that really informed me with price points and building collections and seasonal wear and fine jewelry and everything like that. And I think in some ways it made me a bit of a jewelry snob, because I saw so much beautiful jewelry. But in another way, I think it really informed me that the difference between, I guess, craft and handmade is quality. That's always kind of been my focus now, is that we, even without an apprenticeship and even without whatever, it's still about producing something to the utmost quality. And that's what I've based my business on.
And that obviously is working for you, so that's fantastic. And I think quality speaks very much to what we're going to be talking about today, which is, having a professional photo shoot of your collection. And this is, you haven't just done it once, you've done it a couple of times now. So you've definitely, I have no doubt, learned a lot about the process. So let's start diving in and talking about that. First of all, let's discuss, the benefit of this. What is the kind of the main benefits of going to this effort and having this, collection of professional shots?
Well, apart from the fact that once you get over the sort of the anxious, planning side of it, it is so much fun. But I think that, today consumers are really, really savvy, and we have really high expectations now of social media. A kind of a photo with a flash in a dark room or whatever isn't enough. And great photography is really such a must for small business. And it's about, exposure. And, if you're producing things that are a high quality, then you want to be imparting that image of your brand. And I've witnessed the effect that it's had in increasing my sales by, going to this effort and producing these photo shoots. And it just means that you can reach a broader audience, and you can also, your PR and everything, you're reaching people that you probably wouldn't be able to reach if you weren't creating these professional images. And you can use them for everything from your social media and your blogs and your website to, business cards and catalogs and print and online and, working with social influencers and stuff. So it just gives you a library of images that you can keep using and recycling and sharing, and that really pushes your brand and your quality. So yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, everybody hears me banging on about photos, 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 have amazing photos. It really, if you're selling online, it's a non-negotiable. You've got to have beautiful photographs of your work that just make it stand out. And, you know, by having photo shoots of, you know, depending on what you make, of course, but professional photo shoots or professional standard photo shoots of your work being worn or in its environment, it just, it really brings it to life for people. And it really, like you said, sets the tone for your brand. And, you know, it shows that you're taking your brand seriously. So, of course, other people are going to take your brand seriously as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's so much to be said for, you know, seeing a piece of jewelry on a white background versus seeing it on a model. Mm. And having themes and having your branding and everything as well too. You know, I mean, people want to see the photo on a white background because they want to experience it because they can't hold it. Mm. But they also want to see what it looks like to be worn. And you're also selling, you know, an emotion. When you've got a gorgeous girl wearing a gorgeous piece of jewelry in a beautiful background, you know, it's so visually interesting to look at, and it's the kind of thing that people are going to stop scrolling for, you know, and it's the kind of thing you're going to be remembered for if you can get those great images. You know, like I said, you can recycle them down the track. You might get a photo and it might be on your postcards and on your business cards and on your website and everything. And then you might do another shoot, but later on down the track, you can still share those again on your blog and on your social media. So, you know, I think that the investment, it really pays off.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. It just kind of popped in my head. So, you know, take photos that people will stop in their scroll for.
Exactly.
That's a good way of looking at it. So that's, you know, we can talk about that's why it's important, and that's the power of these photos. I believe that you're a firm believer in the idea of having a collection to shoot as well.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you can definitely shoot one-of-a-kind pieces, but I think that when you are working with, you know, a photographer and, say, a hairstylist and a makeup artist and a stylist, having a theme to your work and a theme to the collection, it just makes it easier to collaborate and have a shared vision. And I have just found so much that the first photo shoots that I did, it was just myself and the photographer, you know, working together to make these photo shoots and sort of trying to direct a model and find a location and everything. And, you know, the last photo shoot that I did, it was so much more collaborative, and it was, you know, everybody had their input, and it just takes it in a direction that you couldn't go on your own. Like, it just brings so much more to the shoot, and you're allowing everybody's creativity to shine. Yeah. So, you know, you might have an idea in mind of what you want to get, and you get that, but then you get so much more than that by allowing other people to input their ideas. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the nitty gritty of things. So the question I'm sure that's on everybody's mind is, how do you find these people?
Sure. Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, first and foremost, you need a photographer, and I have been completely blessed that one of the school mums is actually an amazing photographer who generally works with children and families. Mm. And she actually shot me and my children, and I was just like, you are amazing. We need to work together. and she felt a little out of her depth, Trudy LeBrie's photography. I'm talking about Trudy. So Trudy felt a little out of her depth at first, but I can be, you know, a little bit pushy at times, and I managed to convince her to do a shoot with me. And I had a new collection, and I was like, okay, you know, come on, Trudy, we can do this together. You know, we're both nervous, but we can do this together. Mm-hmm. We just need to find a model. And that can be the hard part as well too. It's, you know, finding someone that, you know, not only won't be shy in front of the camera, but doesn't mind that their image is going to be splashed all over your social media and your blog and you're this and you're that, you know, and they don't mind to be in print. And I was fortunate. I had this absolutely gorgeous instructor, Harriet, and she agreed in exchange for petrol money and jewellery to be my first model. And she was fabulous. She was absolutely fabulous. And when she was doing it, I'm like, you are like such a natural at this. Have you done this before? And she's like, I actually have done a little bit of modelling. And I'm like, oh, perfect. You know,
there you go.
And we had a mutual friend whose house had a library, you know, so we stole her house and we paid her with champagne and we just did the shoot, and it was So much fun, and some of the best photos that came out of it were completely accidental. My friend had chickens in the backyard, and Harriet said, "Oh, you know, when we finish the shoot, let's go and check out the chickens." And one of the best photos is she's sitting there wearing the jewelry, holding a chicken.
I know that photo. Yeah, that's a great photo.
And it became a postcard, and it was just a really, you know, spur of the moment thing. You know, so it was, again, you know, you can plan and everything, but things happen on the day, and you just go with it, and you just don't know what you're going to get. But, you know, there's a lot of places that you can look for photographers and models, and I found that, you know, Gumtree is fantastic.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah, I've gotten models and photographers through Gumtree before, and even the hair and makeup at my last shoot, I found Casey Walker through Gumtree.
Wow. I never would have thought to go to Gumtree.
I know. Like, people advertise there and then link back to their websites.
Right,
and their,
of course.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I guess, you know, it's like Googling, but you can Google to a really specific region.
Yes, yes.
And find people
in
your
so
region.
Helpful. Oh, my
and
goodness.
And you can also find people who are starting out and
right.
who are, you know, willing to do part cash, part barter, or, you know, I've done a lot of bartering to get my stuff done, because, you know, it's about producing something that is as professional as possible. But, you know, I'm still a small business and I don't have a big business budget to be doing these things. So, Gumtree's been fantastic.
For those of you who don't, I don't know if Gumtree, I know where they have it in the UK. I don't know if they have it in the US and Canada. So it's basically like an online trading paper or something, isn't it? You know, like a Craigslist,
yeah,
maybe
like,
Craigslist
yeah,
for them would
or
be.
Or eBay. It's like
yeah.
eBay.
Yeah. Kind of, and you can narrow it down to things within like 5 kilometers of you or 10 kilometers of you, and there's different categories and stuff. So yeah, so I guess that's probably a good place to go to try to look for such things, and obviously taking advantage of your networks, which you did really well.
Yeah, and you know, finding models and stuff as well too. There's a lot of people on there that, you know, they're looking to build their portfolios, and they're looking to, I mean, they'll happily model for free in exchange for the photos from the shoot.
Right.
So, you know, if your friends are all, no, I don't want to be on your website, then that's fine. There are people that really want that, and, you know, you can make those connections with them. I was really fortunate with my last shoot that I was, you know, kind of Googling, and I was looking at different modeling agencies, and I found a model that I just thought, you know, she would be perfect, and I found her on Facebook and sent her a message on Facebook, and it was perfect timing. She had just left her modeling contract, so I didn't need to go through her agency and pay a fee or anything like that. She was freelance modeling so that she could focus on her studies and her travels.
Oh, wow.
And we did the shoot the day before she flew off to Europe. So it was just perfect, you know, it gave her a bit more spending money.
Yeah.
And it gave us a professional model who just really knew what she was doing. And, you know, straight away she was sort of in character. She knew how to look at the camera. She knew how to pose. She wasn't the least bit nervous. And it just brought so much more to the shoot. You know, but starting out, you know, you can model in your own photos as well too. One of the photo shoots that I did at Christmas was my daughter and I making Christmas biscuits. And, you know, we've got all these beautiful photos in my white kitchen and my white kitchen hutch with, you know, sort of white and silver decorations everywhere. And Emmy and I are making Christmas biscuits. And Trudy just took all these absolutely amazing photos that I was able to, you know, sort of scatter through my feed in November and December, which was, you know, and which, you know, as well is, you know, one of the busiest times of the year. So definitely something to start thinking about now.
Yes.
For Christmas to get organized.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, it's terrifying, isn't it? You got to think about it so early if that's part of your business. I mean, I know some people in the Thriver Circle who have Christmas stuff. They're like all talking about Christmas, making the stuff and getting stock made. It's like, holy moly, it's crazy, but it's true. You really do have to plan ahead. Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. I've learned that the hard way.
Yeah, I did too. Don't learn it the hard way, people. Trust us. Get organized early. So you took advantage of your networks. You kind of went out there and sort of made, you know, very clever kind of barter deals and stuff with people. And so how many times have you done this now?
I have done four shoots with models and with myself, and I've done another, sort of Christmas, rather Easter shoot with Trudy, where I spent 2 hours looking for little tiny eggs, driving around before the shoot trying to find quail's eggs, but that was so much fun. But yeah, I've done it 4 times now. And so, yeah, one Christmas shoot in my house and the Easter shoot in my house, a gemstone shoot in a library, friend's library, wilderness collection shoot that was in bushland, and the most recent shoot with the model, which was at their Kingston Butter Factory,
Nice.
which kind of brings me to think about scouting for locations. So, once you've shot so many times in your own house, it kind of gets a bit boring and you need to start looking at other places that you can shoot. So again, friends and family are wonderful for this. And if you know someone with a gorgeous house or a gorgeous backyard or whatever, then that's perfect. But if you keep your eyes open, you can find really great local locations to shoot. And before our last shoot, we went scouting, and I had a look around, and we found like this amazing bridge that we thought, oh, that would be perfect. And we got there, and it really wasn't. It was kind of covered in graffiti and not really nice. And I'm like, okay. So we went and checked out another side, and I thought, oh, this is really nice, but it's actually not in keeping with, what we were doing. So, maybe we'll pencil that down for something else. And then the third site, when we went to the Butter Factory, we were like, yep, this is perfect. It really kind of fits in with this vintage travel theme, and it could be, a train station or something like that. And it was a matter of just calling the Butter Factory and then talking to council about, booking it in. Because some of the other places that we had researched, we were quoted up to $44 an hour to use like a Brisbane council venue, whereas the Logan City Council venue was free. So, when you're counting pennies, that it makes a huge difference. And especially when, you're not exactly sure how long these things will take. I mean, the hair and makeup alone took, I think, an hour and a half. And then the shoot itself took about 2 hours. So yeah, when you're paying for these things, yeah, it's like I said, it's good to go and scout for locations first, check it all out, and while you're there, sort of take note of the lighting and the time of the day. The amenities that are available, is there toilets? Is there somewhere for your model to change? Is there power? What permissions do you need? What costs? And even take a few test shots to see that it's going to work, because there's nothing worse than getting everybody there on the day and not getting the photos that you wanted.
That would be horrible.
But I think, one of the other really great things that I did with this last shoot was kind of getting out of my comfort zone and approaching a Sydney clothing designer to lend us samples from her new collection for the shoot. And so I spoke with Rabia of Ginny and Jude, who I followed on Instagram. And I just said, I absolutely love your stuff and I would really love to use your clothes in our next shoot, and would you be interested? And she was amazing. She was 39 weeks pregnant and sending us clothing and following things up, and then the clothes went missing and the courier said they couldn't find them, and there was kind of $1,200 worth of clothing that went missing between Sydney and Brisbane. And I'm thinking, okay, look, I'm not going to tell her about this because she's 39 weeks pregnant, the poor thing. And little did I know that the back and forth between me and the courier on via email, they had CC'd her in on everything. So, yeah, she was completely aware of what was going on. She was so cool and calm about it. And the clothes were found,
Yay.
but not before we had rescheduled the photo shoot
Oh.
just in case.
Yeah.
So, note to self, always make sure that you give yourself plenty of time for anything to arrive. Because, yes, and having a backup plan on the day if it rains is also a good thing. It was raining the morning of the shoot, and we were just so lucky that the sun came out. But we had a few sort of little, like, well, if it's going to keep raining, well, we can, kind of shoot in these couple of covered locations. And then the sun came out, and it was great because we just had the whole place to ourselves because it had been raining and nobody else was out and about. So, yeah, it was wonderful.
Oh, goodness. And there's so, yeah, there's just so many of those little details that you really need to think about. Like you said, toilets and food and water and, chairs for people to sit on, all those sorts of things.
Yeah. So we made, like, you know, it was like going camping, you know, I made a provisions list of what to bring, like must bring food and water and tea and snacks and a table and chairs and power cords, you know, because you just, it's not probably going to be there and you're probably going to need it. Mm. And once you're there, you're there. And you're there for the shoot. So yeah, I was, you know, I thought, well, I'd rather throw it in the car and not need it than not throw it in the car and need it. And which, you know, reminds me that, yeah. So the other thing that I did apart from my provisions list was I made an itinerary. And it just to keep everybody informed into, you know, what time to arrive at the shoot and, you know, allowing time for travel, allowing time for the hair and makeup and, you know, how long the location's booked for, just so that everybody's on the same page. And, you know, if there's any, if anything needs to be changed or whatever, or if the photographer's running late, then that's fine because, you know, then she knows, well, that's okay. I've got an hour and a half up my sleeve with hair and makeup or, you know, so it just let everybody really know. And I gave everyone each other's contact details as well too, just to make things more smooth on the day. And also just, you know, again, widening your network so they can touch base or work together again in the future if they hit it off. So
that's a great point, actually. Yeah. And thinking about the actual photographs themselves, did you like think beforehand what you were going to use them for and sort of the sort of shots you wanted to get?
Yeah, definitely. So, so along with my itinerary and my provision list, I made a shot list because I was thinking about things like, you know, portrait photos work better on Pinterest and landscape photos work better on Facebook and we need sort of square close-ups for Instagram. So each piece of jewelry had a piece of clothing that sort of went with it and then each one of those, then I had, you know, like a list, like a close-up and a long shot and on the model and off the model. And so then as we went, we ticked off those things because, again, you know, if you get to the end of the shoot and you haven't got the photos that you wanted, it's too late. So really, really planning out that shot list and putting a lot of thought into it. And even just things like, you know, the poses that you want from the model. So if you if there's a pose that you really like, then get the model facing to the left and also get the model facing to the right because if you're going to be working with editorials or blogs or you want to be putting text with that, you know, or you, it's going to be in print, you know, it, you might want it on the left or the right side of a fold in a magazine, for instance. Yep. So, you know, if you get both those shots in the moment, it's going to save you a lot of dramas later on and you're not going to end up with things kind of looking back to front or whatever, you know, if you're trying to just Photoshop it to suit. So, yeah, just, you know, and the same, you know, like making sure that you get in and you get all those close-ups, you get the jewellery because – You can try again later, but to get those really beautiful, crisp, clear close-ups of the jewelry, which is what you want. I mean, you want filler photos that give you the feel of the shoot and the feel of the jewelry. And, you know, and some of the photos aren't even about the jewelry. You know, we had these gorgeous vintage suitcases. And so we just had some photos just of those. And, you know, they're really great. Again, in your feed and everything, so that you're not just showing off your jewelry, showing off your jewelry, showing off your jewelry all the time, but you're just creating beautiful images again to stop people scrolling, you know?
Yeah.
But
and it telling your brand story.
It's, exactly. Yeah. It's
just thinking about the sort of images and the sort of feel you want for your brand and then taking photos that reinforce that, even if they don't show your product.
So what I did was I made a Pinterest board and I just pinned and pinned and pinned everything from hairstyles that I liked to poses that I liked to, you know, other pictures of other suitcases or, you know, I looked up because our last shoot had sort of this vintage travel vibe. I was looking up everything from, you know, engagement travel shoot, you know, on Pinterest or couple shoot vintage, just to see, you know, and think, oh, that's a great idea. And, oh, you know, like what props do we need? What props can we use? And so, you know, we collected up you know, cameras and binoculars and maps and all sorts of things to play with on the day. And, you know, and I say like, oh, I really like this photo, you know, and I'd show the photographer and I'd show the model. So I had those all printed out like a sort of mood board for the day, so that the model knew straight away, like see this pose, see how she's looking over her shoulder. That's what I want you to do, you know, and it took out that guesswork. I mean, because like I said, about collaborating. So that's what I had in mind. And I was like, you know, can you do that? And she would, yep, sure. And then other times, like she would just, you know, she'd put her head down and she'd look up and flutter her eyelashes, and I'd think, oh my god, like I never would have thought to do that shot, or you know, and then we'd get these amazing pictures. So again, you know, collaborating and letting them work to their strengths.
Yes.
You just don't always know what you're going to get, and it's really exciting.
I mean, it sounds like. One, it sounds like a lot of work and a lot of planning has gone into this, which is fabulous. I hope everybody listening, I hope you've been taking notes or something, because Christina's just laying down so many little tips here. It's fantastic. I'm like ticking it off in my head if I ever decide to do a photo shoot. Like, wow, this is so useful.
Yeah, you can just call me and say,
Christina. Yeah, I will. So I'm just going to hire you to organize it for me.
Yeah, and I'd love to do that, because I, like, honestly, I say to my, you know, to Trudy all the time, like, oh, let's have another photo shoot. Because I just love it so much. I mean, I love, you know, once you've got the collection, what's the theme going to be? What's the location going to be? Like, who's our model going to be? What can we do? And just thinking outside the box, and that whole, like, you know, looking at everything, like looking at Country Style magazines and Frankie magazine and this and that, and thinking like, wow, you know, we could do something like this, or we could do something completely crazy, or, you know, like, yeah, what's going to suit your brand? You know, and if your brand is really sort of, you know, boho and beachy and stuff, you know, then you can go down that road. Or if it's really kind of modern and angular and stuff, you know, then you'd have completely different locations and models. And, you know, and if you just want to do something really crazy, you know, you can do it. You can paint them blue and stick them in water, or, you know, whatever you want. I think that's the key, is that, you know, there's kind of no end to the possibilities. And yeah, I find that really, really fun and exciting, and you know, lets out that other, you know, bit of creativity in me that's like, let's go for it, let's do it.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. You make it sound really exciting, and it almost sounds like, to me, for you, the photo shoot has become an integral part to the creative process of making a new collection.
Yeah, totally. It is. I think, you know, because it brings me joy. I mean, designing the collections and stuff totally brings me joy. Then making them as well. I absolutely, you know, I love sitting down and the problem solving of, okay, well, I've drawn this. Now, how do I turn this into a three-dimensional item? Yeah. And, you know, how high does this bezel need to be? And, you know, am I going to be able to set this without breaking it? And, you know, all those kind of things. And then, yeah, like, how am I now going to share my vision of this with the world? And how am I going to help them to relate to these pieces? And I think that the photography really does that. You know, and working with a great photographer is all part of that. And, you know, their editing style, you know, working with them to create an editing style that suits your brand and suits the collection, you know, like a summery shoot might have warmer tones, a winter shoot might have cooler tones, you know, and it's all part of that, you know, creative vision.
Yes. Yeah. And it's going to be different depending on, like you said, the when the collection's released and what the theme of the collection is and all of those sorts of things. On a more practical note, do you have like contracts that you sign and stuff to protect everybody? And like, how do you, what's the word? How do you attribute like stuff, the photographer and the model and stuff? How do you kind of negotiate that sort of thing?
Yeah, so again, it's just like being really open in the communication about, you know, what it is that I'm trying to achieve and then what they would like to achieve from it as well too. So, you know, working with the model, it was about, you know, would you like these images for your portfolio? And, you know, a lot of the time I think models aren't able to kind of walk away with rights to images to use as they please. But, you know, we were happy to negotiate that with the model. And the same with Casey, the hairstylist and makeup artist, you know, like, please use these photos in your Instagram feed and please tag us in them, because it's getting us in front of your network.
Yes.
and vice versa. The photographer always gets, you know, sort of the signed clearance forms done, that, you know, she can use the images and she can reproduce them and whatever else. And, you know, but she is just so generous with allowing people to use her work and share her work. And, you know, being a creative herself, you know, she's Trudy is just so supportive of other creatives that are doing, you know, doing their thing. And she just, you know, that is her gift. Her gift is to be able to understand how a camera works and then use her magic to create these amazing shots. And I mean, she just blows my mind. you know, like, I studied photography at uni and I can't do what she can do. She just has that, you know, she just kind of goes into photographer mode, and I'm just like, wow. And I can never wait to see, you know, the images, whether they're the raw images or the edited images. Like, I just can't wait to see them. It's always really, you know, just so exciting.
It's so interesting though, because, like, you know, for those of us who are self-taught, you know, taking our own product photos, we can get so good. But I think there's definitely something to be said for bringing in a professional who, this is what they do, and they're going to know things that you don't know, and they're going to be able to do things you just don't know how to do. So, you know.
Exactly. And I mean, look, you know, Trudy's self-taught as well too. But as they say, you know, if you spend 10 years doing something, then you'll become a master. And it's where her heart is. And that's, you know, where I'm looking at different jewelry techniques and buying jewelry tools and everything. You know, she is looking at editing techniques, and she's refining her eye, and she's just constantly, you know, got a camera in her hand and photographing her daughters and, you know, doing photo shoots with other children and stuff. And, you know, she's like, doing model shoots is so much easier because the model stays put. You know, it's not like trying to photograph kids that are running away and won't look at the camera and won't smile, and you're trying to bribe them with lollipops, you know. Like, if you ask a model to sit there and smile at you, then they do it. But yeah, you know, I just think, you know, having really open communications and open expectations is a really great way to go. And then just being, you know, genuine and authentic and helping each other out. You know, I love whenever I share the photos, I always tag the photographer and the makeup artist and the stylist. I had Louise from Flora Lovely Calligraphy do styling on this shoot as well too. We did the model shoot, but we also did like a styled sort of lifestyle shoot, I guess, you know, with flat lays and postcards and you know, just kind of and I shot, oh, I lied before, I've done 5 shoots because I did a Mother's Day shoot with Louise who teaches modern calligraphy, and we went to this amazing sort of warehouse that sells antiques, and she was there doing this beautiful calligraphy course with, you know, flowers everywhere, and so we covered her in my jewelry and we took photos of her doing that, and at the end of the day when everybody left, you know, we did some sort of, you know, close-ups of her modeling the jewelry and writing calligraphy and stuff, and then we were doing some of these little style shots with, you know, the jewelry on the table with your calligraphy pens and flowers and everything. And Trudy and I kind of labor over that aspect of trying to, like, style them and make them, you know, interesting and Pinterest ready,
social media worthy,
exactly.
Instagram worthy.
Yes, exactly. And Louise just came along with la 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 and just amazing photo and another amazing photo. And I was like, you are amazing at this. You just have an eye, you know. And if you ever look at the Flora Lovely calligraphy, like her website or her Instagram feed, you'll see what I mean. She just has an eye for getting the high and depth and the texture and the color and everything, and I'm like, I need you. And so she came and styled the shoot, and again, you know, I'd sort of muck around and go like, well, I kind of want these props and these pieces of jewelry, and then she'd come over and go like, you know, zhuzh, 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 and I'd be like, oh my god, take the photo, Trudy. You know, so every time I share one of those photos, you know, I'm tagging her in it, and I'm saying, you know, as styled by Louise, and You know, I've been pitching the photos to magazines and newspapers and whatever else, and you know, got a call back from a magazine recently, and you know, one of the pictures will be featured in their next issue, and
wow.
You know, and I made sure to say, you know, it's photographed by Trudy LaBrie's Photography, mm-hmm. and it's styled by Louise Mulhall, and you know, because that's so important for their small business as well too. So yeah,
I love this kind of the collaborative thing, you know. You know, Thrivers, you can work, you not only work with, you know, stylists and photographers and stuff, but think about other people in your networks who make stuff. Like you did, Christina, if you make jewellery, find someone who makes clothes, find someone who does art or something, and you can all get together and get all of your stuff in one place and then collaborate and, you know, use those photos across everybody's networks and cross-promote each other. And how awesome is that? That's a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. You know, especially if you were doing model photography, then, you know, why not? If you're in different, you know, if you've got a different niche or you've got a different style, then that's fine. You can still all put in to have one model and, you know, and redress the model. And, you know, you can all then chip into a photographer or, you know, and it just means that you will get your photos and your vision, and you'll also be helping each other, and you building those networks, and that's the lovely thing. You know, when I first met Louise, I never anticipated that one day, you know, she'd be a model in one of my photo shoots, and then the next thing she'd be a stylist in another photo shoot. You know, it's lovely how being a creative person attracts other creative people to you and opens up a world of possibilities that weren't there before. And that, you know, that again constantly brings me joy. And I love that, you know, being a business owner, being whatever else, means that I'm kind of put in the way of these other creative people.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it inspires me and it builds me up as well too, you know, and then they are just as generous with me. You know, I mean, so many of my customers are creative people because they appreciate what I do because they, you know, they also work with their hands and stuff. They might not make jewelry, but, you know, they appreciate what it is to make something with your hands and to make a one-of-a-kind piece or to be a small business owner. So, you know, I think, yeah, you can't underestimate that.
Definitely. Wow. Ooh, look at this, 45 minutes. We've just covered so much awesomeness in this episode. Do you have any last bits of advice or tips for people who are kind of thinking about embarking on getting a photo shoot organized for their products?
Sure, I would say, you know, definitely you can just start simple, you know, like I did, start simple. It can be you and a photographer and a friend or just you and a photographer. It doesn't have to be too complicated. And as you get more confident and more ambitious and, you know, more excited by it, then start to bring in, you know, maybe a real model and maybe a hair and makeup artist and, you know, maybe start thinking about, you know, bigger locations or paying for a location or, you know, but you can start so small. You can start with a friend and your own camera in your own home, and it's just worthwhile to be showing your brand and letting out your creativity and creating beautiful images that you can share that, like we said, make people want to stop scrolling.
And that's the goal, really, and then getting that click and everything that comes after it.
Exactly. Keeping them on your page for as long as possible.
Yep, that's it. Awesome. That has been fantastic. Thank you so much, Christina, for sharing all of your experience and all of your knowledge about this process. You've given us so much useful information. I can't thank you enough for that.
Oh, you are so welcome. I love what I do and I love sharing what I do. And, yeah, happy to answer any questions.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Cheers, Jess.
Bye.
Bye.
That was so much fun. Thank you again, Christina, for coming on the show. I hope you all found some really good tidbits of information there if you are planning. And I hope that it made you feel like, hey, you know, if it's been something that you thought wasn't even within the realms of possibility, I really hope that episode kind of made it feel a bit more doable and a bit more achievable. And remember to hop on over and get that free download of the cheat sheet of kind of the things, the main things you need to remember and know. It's in the Handmade Biz Toolkit as of right now.
And again, remember to put October 3rd in your calendar as the start date for Set Up Shop if you're going to join us for the next run of the course. I won't be running it again this year. That'll be the last time until probably the first quarter to first third of next year. So if you want to do the course, even if you know it's not the perfect time, but you really want to get that information under your belt, make sure to sign up for this next run of the course and join us for that. And it's going to be a lot of fun and very useful information. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. It's wonderful to talk to you as always. And next week I'll be back with, gosh, episode 71. Can't believe it. It's getting away from me. Oh, it's awesome. I love chatting to you every week. It's so much fun. I really enjoy it. And I really hope you do too. And thank you to everybody who's been sending me emails and leaving me reviews. It really does make my day to hear from a happy listener. Have a wonderful week. And I'll be back again with more creative business goodness for you next week. Bye for now.